All right, 7:07 here on WMAL. Coming up this morning on Mornings on the Mall, 7:45, we'll be joined by Larry Michael, the voice of the Washington Redskins ahead of this weekend's game. 8:05, we've got Christian Toto. He's a film critic, an excellent one. And he's probably got a Star Wars hangover, having seen the movie last night, so we'll talk to him about that. And then Brett Baer, the Fox News Channel's Brett Baer, joining us at 8:35 this morning. Pleased to be joined. I'm Vince Collins. I'm pleased to be joined this morning by Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner. Sarah, thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Nice to have you here filling in for the vacationing Mary Walter. And joining us now, also from the Washington Examiner, Washington Secrets columnist Paul Bedard joins us. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Vince. You're outnumbered.
I am outnumbered. It happens. Daily Caller versus Examiner. I'm losing this morning. There's two of you here. And let's talk about the President of the United States, what he's been up to. Yesterday, he made a big announcement about the regulations. You recall early in his administration, he said, hey, look, every new regulation we put into place, I've ordered the government to eliminate two. Well, boy, have they beaten that by a substantial margin. Listen to the President of the United States yesterday.
Instead of eliminating two old regulations, for every one new regulation, we have eliminated 22. 22. That's a big difference. We aimed for two for one, and in 2017, we hit 22 for one.
22 for one. It's not often in these sort of rote political events that I am shocked. I think my jaw hit the floor yesterday. I don't know about you, Paul Bedard.
Well, I was too. I mean, you know, we've been looking at the numbers ever since he came into office, and I guess like 3 or 4 months ago, it looked as if they had reached the a level of 16 to one, and that number 22 is just amazing. And you have to also note that he's the savings over time and all this kind of red tape and regulation is about $8 billion. Actually, it goes into the hundreds of billions of dollars if you stretch it out over time. And he's also put on hold hundreds of Obama-era regulations that were in the pipeline. The number, it's actually, he's only cut 67 regulations. He's imposed three. Those numbers look really small when you think about, you know, the number and pages of regulations, but they're significant economically.
Yeah, he made a big point. There was a ribbon cutting, or cutting red tape. It wasn't a ribbon cutting,
yeah.
I guess. He was cutting the red tape yesterday, showing that his intention is to get the amount of regulations imposed by the federal government down dramatically, and that he's still going to be pushing on that.
Yeah, he talked about getting it down to 1960 levels. I mean, let's face it, the guy brags a lot, and I don't think that's possible without any kind of legislation. But it's a sign that, you know, he's making good on the promise to deregulate the government, kind of make it easier for businesses, and to also kind of offset overwhelming regulations that don't have a either a cost savings or a benefit to people. That the agency that's leading the way is the Department of Interior. You know, they've opened up lands to some energy development, to hunting, to sportsmen. You know, Ryan Zinke, that secretary, has kind of been the leader of this effort so far.
Hey, Paul, Sarah, so I know you've been covering the deregulation push since the very beginning, but will there ever be a point in Trump's presidency where he starts to hit a wall? You know, presumably there are a finite number of regulations. Is this pace of cutting regulations sustainable, or eventually will there come a time when there's just no more rules left to delay or cancel?
You know, there's endless rules that can be cut or changed. So I don't think there's ever an end. But keeping up the pace, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think you can possibly keep up with these numbers. And what the head of, you know, his top regulator said is, listen, what we need to do is to get back to the regulations that Congress has approved and imposed and stop these agencies from going beyond that. So I think that's kind of his focus.
How much of a factor do you think undoing everything Obama ever did it plays into? No, I'm serious. I mean, how much does that play into the mind of the White House?
I think it plays hugely into the mind of the White House. And let's face it, the Obama administration at the end, in their last 8 months, went overboard in proposing rules. And so I think there are about 1,500 that the Trump administration has put the brakes on.
All right, I want to move to a different topic, one that's captivated Washington at the end of this week, and it's Omarosa, the person who's been famous for being fired over and over by the same guy, Donald Trump. This time, she claims she resigned, although there was some drama in the press about whether or not she, like, tripped some alarms in the White House on the way out. She was storming her way towards the residence because she wanted to speak to the president. She gets thrown out by the Secret Service. That's all been denied by the security people. And here's Omarosa yesterday in Good Morning America, suggesting that she may have a lot more to say once she's finally officially done with the White House.
As the only African-American woman in this White House, as a senior staff and assistant to the president, I have seen things that have made me uncomfortable, that have upset me, that have affected me deeply and emotionally, that has affected my community and my people. And when I can tell my story, it is a profound story that I know the world will want to hear.
Paul Bedard, that sounds like a threat.
It sounds like a threat. I don't know if it'll be taken that seriously. But, you know, she did have a portfolio, which was to do outreach to African Americans, to that community, to get them to cooperate and get involved in this administration. And she failed miserably there. You know, part of it was the issue of the president being described as a racist. So he had difficulty reaching out to African Americans then. But also I heard from a lot of conservative blacks who said, listen, they felt... they were shut out of the White House, and that she wasn't being cooperative. You know, she had been, Sean Spicer said on TV, I think, you know, yesterday, he doesn't know why she was hired other than that she's a friend of the president inside the White House. You know, she wanted her own staff. She kind of wanted her own fiefdom, and that just doesn't work that way. And I think what the Chief of Staff, Kelly, is trying to do is to get to the new year with the team that he wants in place that can get things done.
Paul, we can you and I and Sarah, we can see what's happening right now a million miles away in Omarosa's story arc, which is to say right now, the fact that she threw a threat out like that suggests that she's going to be treated not like a villain by the press, which currently treats her that way. She's suddenly going to become a saint. She's going to be the victim, and she's going to be the key person. I don't know what network's going to offer a contributorship, but she's going to be attacking that White House pretty regularly.
Yeah, she's going to be the darling of the press when that book comes out, if the book comes out. And I think you're exactly right. But, you know, inside the White House, let me tell you, I made some calls yesterday, you know, to people who had to work with her. There is tremendous relief. The morale has gone up because it's a sign that they're getting to work and they're trying to get these folks out.
Do you think, Paul, that there's a fear at all from the White House? You know, she generated her fair share of negative headlines throughout her tenure. But is there a fear that perhaps she could end up doing more damage from the outside than she ever did on the inside?
Sure, because it'll be a lot more public if she writes a book or if she says, you know, mm-hmm. that the president was, treated blacks wrong or something like that, and that will get played up. Will it hurt Team Trump and his supporters? I don't think so. I think, you know, they just kind of write her off.
I do think the thing that she's missing is that by being fired, she'll probably end up talking to President Trump a lot more than she does in the White House, right?
Seems to work that way.
Yeah. All of these guys who get fired, they end up just having regular phone conversations with the president. John Kelly can't stop those anymore. It's amazing stuff. Paul Bedard, thank you very much, as always, for breaking down what's going on in Washington for us, sir.
Thanks.